Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFlex Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital Market Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital Market Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. Hope you all and your family members are staying safe and healthy. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO and President, Mr. Ananta Sri Chaturvedi, CEO, Flex Films Limited International, Mr. Apoorva Sri Chaturvedi, Director, EU Operations and Sustainability. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remark, and then we would have question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please proceed. Mr. Bhatia, may you please proceed?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Done. Good afternoon to all of you, and welcome to Q3 conference call for the earnings for the Q3. Overall, you know, this quarter I'll split into two parts. One is India, where we have seen a very strong growth momentum, and the offshore business, which is basically packaging films business, where we've seen some softening and, you know, we'll explain to you the reasons for the same. Then, you know, it can be followed by Q&A. Let's first, you know, look at the positive aspects, which is, you know, India business, where we've seen a growth of about volume overall growth of about 13% this quarter, and the packaging business has seen a growth of about 34%. Of that, you know, the revenue for the business is up about 20%. EBITDA is maintained. That's basically sums up, you know, the India business, where we've seen a strong momentum in the packaging business volume, which comprise of the flexible packaging as well as the aseptic packaging part of our business. If we come to the consolidated numbers, yes, on a three-month basis, we on a quarterly basis, while the income, the revenue is almost maintained and it's marginally up by about 0.6% to about 3,496 crores. The EBITDA has suffered to about 429 crore without any exchange fluctuation, and which we compare with the on a YOY basis, it is down by about 28%. This quarter we've seen an unprecedented foreign exchange losses, both on account of a devaluation by Egypt by about 22.3% on 27th of October, and also some of the translation and reinstatement losses, again, which are most of which are notional because of. But, you know, because we report our numbers in the rupee format and, you know, translate from all the currencies first to dollar and then from dollar to rupee, we've seen a huge impact of about aggregating to about 236 crores in this quarter. You know, that's the prime driver for the reason why, you know, this quarter's numbers do not look good. Again, I say that most of that is notional only, the exchange losses. And we've seen some degrowth in the offshore business, largely because of the two facts. One, we had forgotten during the COVID period that what is the normal. And so one, that realization now that COVID is behind us is back to the reality. And, you know, normally pre-COVID, the period of October to December is always soft, as compared to some of the other quarters. So that realization, that reality check is now setting in. But, you know, this reality check was also accentuated by, two factors. One is the Russia-Ukraine war, which led to a huge increase in the energy cost for us as well as for the general consumers, and obviously it hit the consumption, as the consumer had to choose between eat and heat, and particularly this winter, and their disposable income, they had to realign in terms of the higher energy cost, what the household had to pay. And also the higher EMI, if they have taken any loans for housing or otherwise. So there has been a redistribution of the income, and some of the discretionary spends have taken a hit, and that was and as a reason thereof, we've seen some degrowth in the volume. The second reason is also as the Fed aggressive policy, they're trying to combat inflation. We've seen in some of the, and that has impacted, that those very aggressive fiscal policies ultimately, affect the consumption at some stage or the other. But more than that, I think, couple of countries where we are operating, like Nigeria, Egypt, and all that, this dollar strength has ultimately led to, a huge availability issues with respect to the dollar. And, the industries or the businesses which are dependent on the imported raw materials they sell locally, they were finding it very difficult to procure dollars for the offshore procurement, thereby ultimately, if their volumes are affected, and it's a whole cyclic, it's a whole chain, so somewhere it had to affect people like us also, where if the overall economy is not doing so well, so the consumption also gets affected. I think this, having said that, this is the quarter where we've seen the maximum impact of this, these losses, exchange, as well as some of the degrowth in the packaging film business globally. And we foresee that the current quarter will still be better in the Indian operations as compared to the previous quarter, as currently we are operating at about 130% capacity utilization in our aseptic packaging business in the month of January, and the season has just started, so we see a very strong momentum in that business, as well as our flexible packaging business, which in the month of January has reported the highest ever volume ever. And so these two businesses are quite stable, and that's what diversification of the revenue streams in India has been very well demonstrated in this quarter, whereby the films business suffered in terms of its profitability, while the other businesses, aseptic packaging, flexible packaging, inks, adhesives, chemicals, cylinders, they've all made up for what was the lower contribution by the film business. Now, offshore business is only a pure packaging films play, and that's where we see once that business is down for the reasons I already explained. So we were there, coupled with the exchange losses. I think that business has not done so well during this quarter as it was doing in the previous six quarters. But nothing that we are so worried about our market share, everything else. We're taking the opportunity to grow that in some of the difficult times. And surely, I think another quarter or two we'll be back on track in terms of our offshore business, and the India business will continue momentum both in the packaging. Flexible packaging as well as in the aseptic packaging, and also some of the intermediary businesses, especially the chemicals and cylinders. So that in nutshell is the theme for the quarter three performance. And I think what is important to note is that while the industry, if you see all other players also, they've reported also a lower number, both for the India as well as the offshore businesses. But that's where UFlex gets differentiated from the rest of the players, as the other businesses, related businesses, revenue streams have compensated for the loss of revenue and the profitability in the packaging films business. No doubt the packaging films business is the largest for us, and the other businesses are much smaller as compared to this, but wherever we've seen an opportunity to do better, we'll do that. And we are looking to further debottleneck our existing aseptic packaging business to take it close to 12 billion packs a year from the 9 billion packs a year run rate currently at which we are operating. And the order momentum is sort of pretty strong there, both in the domestic markets and as well as in the offshore markets for this business. And there have been months where, when the India season goes down, earlier there have been situations where, your plant capacity utilization drops drastically, especially in the months of August and September onwards. But this year, we've done, even in those, non-seasonal months also, we've done better, because we grew our export markets, and as a result of which now we expect that, in the year 23-24, we will see not much of seasonality going forward into this business as we ramp up our export markets. Even at a 12 billion packs a year market, I would have reasons to believe that, we have order book to serve the customers, and the market has been pretty good for both for the flexible packaging as well as for the aseptic packaging business. So that's in nutshell is the key takeaway and from UFlex, and we are open to any questions on our performance for the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. first question is from the line of Saurabh Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes, hello, Gattaji. So my question was regarding the aseptic packaging and why segmented information for that is not being provided, even though engineering activities is being provided, which is currently at a much smaller scale than aseptic packaging.
I think there what we are doing is there we are guided by the ACA, and there's all the packaging activities and the packaging films is taken as a packaging activity, and engineering is of course a separate activity as required to be reported under the laws of the land, and that's how we distinguish. But we also shy away from giving you a number on these two separately, being a bit confidential information. But we happy to tell you the plant capacity utilization levels, and the capacity. So in a way, you're there's enough information for you to derive as to what kind of a growth and the momentum we have in that business.
But if the profitability becomes a problem, revenue of course is one can arrive at, but profitability of that 20% EBITDA is something that has been guided earlier, but then there are all kinds of variables that keep changing, considering the fact that Sanand plant is a separate standalone entity and isn't really enmeshed in the other operations of the company. And it having achieved a particular scale right now, so it's just maybe a pointer maybe for the management to sort of consider going ahead. I understand there is confidentiality involved here, but if it could just give a sense of the profitability and that being a separate, because from your commentary also, it's being referred to as a separate growth driver. So it gives, if it's a private company, if Uflex is a private company, it's a separate issue. But for shareholders, minority shareholders, it becomes a bit of an added incentive to sort of be invested in the company. So that was my little thing about the segmented information. The second question would be, how does the company plan to sort of take care of the debt situation going ahead? This quarter has been particularly harsh profitability point of view, from the profitability point of view. So how does the company intend to handle the debt situation going ahead, assuming things do not look up for some time? Because I'm sure in addition to the open lines of debt, there are also covenants that are not...
So can you concise your question? Can you concise
your
question? In the question,
yes. what does the company plan to do about the debt situation going ahead if profitability remains a problem in the near future in terms of debt covenants which are not public right now? So how does the company plan to handle the debt situation?
Okay.
Debt covenants.
So I think the covenants are currently all under control. There are no issues with respect to any governments. In our European businesses, yes, when we look at the trailing 12 months, we still find we may have some issues on a quarterly number isolation basis. And whenever there are such scenarios, I think the bankers do understand that, and we're hopeful that we will get waivers from them, because they also understand the situation in the European territory, particularly where the cost of energy has hit us, not only us but across all the industries. And there is an impact on the consumption because of it. So they are very well supportive of if there are any sort of covenants breach. we don't, as we said, that we expect that Q2 onwards, we will have in the positive growth territory in our offshore business as well. In case there are situations which prolong for the reasons which are not under our control, I think our entire stakeholders, which are debt lenders, I think they fully understand that fact that this may lead to some breach in the local covenants, which they are ready to sort of give us some more time to comply with those.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Patil.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from Anubhuti Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you give the exact volume numbers for this quarter?
Which one?
Absolute packaging volumes. I think the last quarter they were 1.5 lakh tons.
No. This quarter we did sales volume of close to about 140,000.
140,000 tons.
Yes.
That could be approximately 6%-7% decline on a sequential basis. That would be correct?
Yes.
Okay. With respect to our Dharwad project, the BOPET addition of 60,000 tons per annum, when can we expect that to come online?
I think the trial runs are there. We had some situation on account of power over there. We were currently on sort of our power, which is the self-generated power. Given the mechanical consumption I told you has been completed for some time. The power issue is still getting resolved, but by end of March, first week of April or so, I think we'll be up and running commercially on that facility.
Sorry, I missed the date. By when?
End of March or first week of April, we'll be up and running with those.
Okay. Thank you. Just on the finance cost number, I think this quarter sequentially, we see the finance cost has come in higher by 26%. Can you just divide the mix that how much came in actually from higher finance cost and if you can share the absolute debt number which is outstanding as of 31st December?
I think the debt number as on 31st of December, what we have there.
Sorry.
Yeah. Is including working capital and long-term, it was about net debt is about 4,460 crores.
4,460 crores.
Yeah.
Okay.
This includes working capital, this includes long-term, this includes working capital, everything, and less of the cash balances, what we see.
Okay. Got it. We were planning to reduce debt by approximately 500 crores during this fiscal. Would that be done in the fourth quarter itself or this would go in next fiscal?
No. I think you've got it wrong. What we said that there is amortization of the debt, which is as per the agreed amortization schedule with the bank. That is happening on its own on a quarter-to-quarter basis. That's the number. As we complete our Dharwad project, as we sort of spend more monies on our Panipat project, you will see that more or less those additional debts will get added on to the debt which is already being repaid. And that's where if you see on a quarter-to-quarter basis, the net increase in the debt is not too much.
Okay, okay. So do we expect debt to further increase from this level? Maybe guidance?
Yeah, it will go up slightly by there will be repayments, there will be fresh debt added. So, I think based on the current plans that we have, we do not expect any debt any substantial numbers to be added on. So what gets added on is almost the same number is what we are looking in terms of our amortization payments. So there's nothing any alarming on this account which will get added on the debt number.
Makes sense, because after Dharwad and Panipat, I believe there are no significant capex coming up except some small recycling plants. Correct, no?
Yeah.
Perfect. So just last one question. So any guidance on the margin front maybe going ahead? Maybe next one or two quarters are challenging, but any broad long-term margin guidance which you can share with us?
Difficult at this stage. I think we'll have to see the Q4, especially in terms of offshore business. India also, there has been some extra capacity which has come, so it's finding its place in the market. So the market is, readjusting itself. I think the next quarter, I will not any huge impact of some of these on the margins, except that some of the exchange losses and all that may not be to that magnitude. Having said that, I think the Q4 will set the tone for the FY24, and that's a better time to give you guidance for FY24. The first and the foremost is that we should look to recover the lost volume. While we know that the overall volumes have shrunk, I think the guidance from the top management is to sort of strengthen the market share. UFlex is much stronger, whether financially or otherwise, in terms of gaining and retaining the market shares in whichever markets we are. So the whole momentum is that whatever are the numbers that were lost in this quarter for the volumes, I think we can make up for that. And then look for, as to what should be our margins, as to how do the margins settle in each of the territories that we operate in. So currently, I'll abstain from giving any guidance because I can tell you that, the January month has been, or the middle, up to middle of February, it's been much better than the last quarter in terms of the numbers.
Okay. So any color on current BOPET spreads, have those remained at the same level as of 3Q, or there is some improvement?
No, it's at the same level.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Podar from KB Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
In your BOPP and BOPET, there is a good amount of capacity that has come. So will that not result in margin reduction even next year also?
I don't think so. There's any more room left to reduce the margin in both of them. I think whatever is the demand side is there. People will look to realign their production. Because if the market is of size X, you produce 1.3X. That's not going to get absorbed just because, you produce and you sell cheaper and all that. So I think the margins have hit the lowest level in the Q3, and here on it's only a positive development that we are expecting. If not on the margin side, if not in Q4, definitely in Q1.
So can we take it the 13% margin, if you leave aside this exchange loss, that is the bottom most margin we can expect from you?
I think if we take out the exchange loss for the 9 month period, we are at about 14.5% for the 9 month period. So, I think for the year as a whole also, we should be slightly better than this. So, but next year, I think we'll be able to give you any guidance only after, what we do in Q4, only then we'll be able to guide. But for the 9 month period, it's a 14.5% EBITDA margin, excluding any exchange losses, but if you see EBITDA after the exchange, yes, it is about 13.1% for the 9 month period.
Okay. So 14% is the bottom most we can expect at a normal level. At first we can expect 14%
EBITDA
margin.
EBITDA for the quarter is lower. EBITDA for this quarter obviously is lower as compared to the first two quarters. So putting that, plugging, if we were to replicate our performance, what we had in this quarter itself, so we are looking at an EBITDA of about, say, 2,100 crores for the year as a whole, with a top line of this 11,391 divided by 3 into 4. So about 13.8% or so. So they'll be... That's what it looks like without any exchange, negative or positive, whatever they are.
Okay. And when is this expansion of your aseptic packaging to 12 billion units going to take place?
That will take time. So not in this season, definitely in the next season we have.
But currently your run rate is 9 billion units, is it? On a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, on an annualized basis.
So that's based on more or less 45 days of operations in the calendar 2023.
Okay. And this straw for this, paper-based straw for this Tetra Paks, have you been able to make it, operationalize it?
Yeah. So those challenges are taken care of, and there is no effect of that on the business.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
This is my question. So first question is on the Asepto. So you mentioned that you're increasing the capacity from 9 to 12 billion packs coming the next season. But given the growth that you have posted in Asepto, post-commissioning of the second line, even this new 3 billion packs, may run out in next 1 to 2 years. So, are you already considering any expansion plans in terms of brownfield, greenfield for the Asepto division?
Nothing on the anvil as of now. Right now, what we are concentrating is on the low-hanging fruits, and the lowest hanging is that if you can do from 9 to 12. Without any any substantial investment. I think that's the way to go. Nothing firmed up on any subsequent green or brownfield expansion as of now.
Okay. What about the margins? In the past, you mentioned that Asepto generates roughly about 20%-25% of EBITDA margin. So going forward also, we can expect
about 20% also, 20%?
So 20% is a sustainable margin going forward?
Yeah, looks like, there'll be dips and ups and downs, season versus non-season, but, a blended average of 20% would be a good estimate.
Okay. Right. So my next question is on the interest cost. So the interest cost, especially if I look at the consolidated standalone, that has gone up substantially. So it is 40 crores in the previous quarter, which has gone to roughly 65 crores in the Q3. So is this because of the higher cost of debt, or because I think most of your expansions in the overseas have been commissioned. None of the expansion would have been commissioned in Q3. So is this because of the cost of debt going up?
Both factors. One is the cost of debt has gone up, especially, if you look at Nigeria, where we had, it's almost doubled, the cost of debt. Then we look at, the dollar denominated or the euro denominated debt there, while we the spreads fixed, but, the SOFR or other benchmarks have gone up. So first is that, and second is, we commissioned the CPP facility in Dharwad, we commissioned the CPP in Dubai as well. So those two extra capacities coming on stream, and wherever there was a CapEx related, those things having come on stream. So that interest cost has been added. But a very large part of the, increase this quarter has been on account of Nigeria increasing its interest rate substantially.
So on an overall level, if you can give the cost of debt that we can work with for the coming fiscal, as in the Indian business as well as in the overall overseas business, what will be the cost of debt?
So if you see current quarter, on a consolidated basis, our debt is 133 crores. So if we divide it by 4,500, so it's about 12%. India debt rates have also gone up. There is some impact, but because we have not added any substantial debt in India. So India numbers is 45 crore this quarter. Last quarter was 41 crores. A year before it was 40 crores. So the impact is not much in the India business because, the debt number there itself is not very substantial. But in India, whatever is the impact of the debt, that may be largely because of the increases we've seen in the last two quarters and the CPP at Dharwad, coming into the commercial production and that number, adding to the interest cost.
Okay, this 500 crores of debt that you mentioned, this is the net debt, not the gross debt.
This is the net debt.
Okay. All right. And how are you looking at spreads in, especially in the overseas, operations? Because as far as I understand, most of the BOPET capacities that have come up is in China and India, especially. So are you seeing like stronger spreads in the overseas operations, and do you feel that it has bottomed out and you're already seeing some sort of an improvement, in the coming quarters?
I think that's what I said to begin with. Looks like that Q3 was the worst. A lot of factors came together to, so I'll have to use the word probably the entire universe conspired to reduce the margin. We had the raw material cost going down. Obviously, you carry some inventory all the time, so there are inventory losses which are built into this. The raw material prices came down, so did the finished goods prices. The consumption came down, which led to the price, still more pricing pressures. So I think everything that extra capacities came on stream, and people, everybody vying for a reduced shelf space. So all that has happened in the Q3, and probably that's what I said earlier. The worst seems to be over, and Q4 and Q2, Q1 onwards, we look for better volumes as well as the margins, both in India as well as offshore.
Okay, all right. So there's one last question before I join back in the queue. This 30 crores of total forex impact, which we saw in Q3. So was this full notional impact, or was this like a non-cash loss?
I think most of it is non-cash loss. So there are Egypt devalued its currency twice in the last 12 months. So that 84 crore impact is taken as an exceptional item. But the impact on the currency on account of two reasons then come. One is the translation losses. When you work in a particular country in the local currency and then you convert that into dollar and then from that dollar to rupee to your reporting currency. So those kind of things are mostly notional in nature, because your effective currency remains the local currency, and you have the surpluses there which you keep on reinvesting there in those markets. Egypt's kind of a devaluation ultimately helps you also, because any devaluation largely means, while it has an impact of a shorter tenor on your numbers, but it insulates you from any onslaught of imports into that country. So I think we're not too worried about because we work in all these countries, so we have to take those currency fluctuations into our stride, because we simply can't work in the dollar. Like in India, you can't sell to a customer based on the dollar value. And so is with Egypt, so is with Mexico, so is with Nigeria in some of these territories work. But if you convert those numbers back into the dollars, obviously, the things will look from a different perspective. But most of this would be, a substantial part of this is notional only.
Okay. All right. Thanks for answering the questions. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Abhimanyu Rathore from KC Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the aseptic packaging business. Sir, given the growth that the division is registering and the margin profile, I just wanted to understand that, is there any internal discussion on, delisting the business as a separate entity or a subsidiary, or, what are the plans for the division going ahead?
I think, given the current size of the business, we don't think that there'll be any opportunity here to separate this business. We will surely look at the markets for the next couple of years, and if there are any capacity expansions that we announce to ensure that we look forward to strengthening our position in India as well as the kind of, you know, impetus we've got in the overseas markets. So, at that point in time, when it becomes really a substantial business, yes, there may be thought, but if you ask me really at this stage, no, there's no way that, you know, you will consider, you know, separating this business.
Makes sense. Thank you so much for the answer and all the best for the coming quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Shah from Anubhuti Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one follow-up question. So any progress with respect to the listing?
I can't hear you.
Okay, it's audible now?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, so any update with respect to listing of our overseas subsidiary?
Oh, okay. So I think we've been in touch with our bankers and currently there does not seem to be any opportunity, but going forward in Q3 of the calendar FY23, we'll again reassess the situation and that remains on cards for us. And you know, good that we've done a lot of work in the past, you know, be it the audits or other things, you know, we've done enough. And as and when there is an opportunity, we'll surely look at those markets. But Q3 is the earliest, you know, when I say Q3 is 24, FY24 is what I mean to say.
Okay, quarter three of FY24.
Yeah, quarter three of FY24.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. If there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Okay. Thanks everybody for being on the call, and you know, to we really you know a bit taken you know surprised by you know what happened in Q3 in terms of the packaging films business, especially overseas. And fortunate that, you know, because of the diversified nature of the business, the elsewhere the business was strong. There are exchange losses which are not in our control, and there are translation losses as well as the losses when you convert the, you know, the liabilities from a certain currency into the reporting currency, which is the rupee, which are again mostly the notional losses. So I don't, you know, sort of, I look at this quarter's performance from a positive perspective only, looking at the packaging business, flexible packaging, which has not been doing so well in a few years. Aseptic packaging business, which is breaking the barriers. And as we look at, you know, finding opportunities from the existing plant as to how do we increase and utilize this plant more to deliver more to the offshore markets, you know, where our aseptic business is now making a good stronghold, so that, you know, the non-seasonable, when there is a non-season in India, you know, we're still able to, you know, utilize the plants fully. So there have been more positives. There have been negatives, which are more market driven, and situations arising out of the aggressive U.S. Fed policy as well as the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and which we have reasons to believe that another quarter, you know, even those numbers will be back on the track. That's what in nutshell is the Q3 about and the guidance for the Q4. Beyond that, currently we are not in a position to, you know, sort of give you any further insight. We can only say that, you know, in terms of the business, the India business, you know, is insulated and is from the rest of the world currently, and, you know, will continue to do so for the Q4 as well as for the FY24 as well. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks, everybody on the call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.